Well, good morning, church. I know we have a lot of people traveling this morning. There's still a lot of people watching online. However you're joining us this morning, welcome. It's awesome to have you here. Add in my wishes for a happy 4th of July weekend for a lot of you. I know we're kind of scattered all over the map. I've got messages from people traveling at the lake, at the beach, and of course, you guys here in the room with us. Just know it's an honor again. I say this now several weeks in a row to have people and faces in front of me. Again, I also want to add that my encouragement for next week for our 5 for 5. If you, again, like Melanie said, if you have not been here for that, it's an awesome time. I just felt led to do it several years ago, and God's just kind of used it every year. And it's not necessarily people preaching. It's people sharing their story. Sometimes it will involve a message, and sometimes it's just simply involving where they've walked through in life. And how many of you know your story has power? Your story that God's walked you through, maybe some bad times, some tough times. Maybe he's brought you into some good times. That story has power. And that power is the thing that changes lives of the people sitting beside you at work. And so don't miss that next week. We usually have a pretty good crowd for that. We'll be online as well. So that'll be next week, our 5 for 5. And we got some other special things coming up in the couple weeks ahead that you'll find out about in due time. We're going to jump into our series. We're going to finish our red letter series this morning. We took it from the book of John. In John chapter 1, the Bible says that the Word became flesh. Jesus was here in the beginning with us. And so the whole idea is to study the red letters in your Bible, the things that Jesus actually said. In the book of John, there's 7 unique times that, and it's only in the book of John, that Jesus says, I am. He says, I am the bread of life. Last week we talked about that one version says door, one version says gate. He says, I am the gate. In other words, there's no other way except through me. Another place he says, which we're not going to get to this one, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Another place he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he always has something he's teaching with each one of those. This morning we're going to talk about the fourth time. And the fourth time in the book is when Jesus says these words, and he says it twice in John 10:11, John 10:14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd sacrifices for his sheep. He gives of himself for his sheep. The second time he says it in John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. And we'll look at this in a minute, but very two different but very specific things. In these verses, Jesus lays out a stark difference between a good shepherd and what the Bible refers to as a hired hand. Just really for simplicity, we'll say a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. And the Bible very clearly talks about the goodness of God, but really a lot of people struggle with this thought of being good, of God being good. And sometimes people look at me funny when I say that. Really? No, everybody thinks God's good. No, everybody doesn't. And as a matter of fact, if we're honest, there's probably a lot of you in the room, a lot of you maybe watching online, that you've been saved, you believe Jesus saved you, but you struggle with this idea that God only wants good things for me, that he has good things planned for me, that he wants me healthy. You say, well, Clint, I've been through this mess in life, this junk, this crap of life. How does God want good for me? Well, the sad part of our world is that we live in a fallen world, and we bring stuff on ourselves, and the devil comes after us. But the Bible says all the good things come from God, and he is good, and we struggle with that. That a lot of times their perspective of God is, again, he keeps me from hell, but I don't know about him being good. Your perspective of God is how you view God because of the things that maybe have happened on the earth. Some of you have had bad relationships. You've been hurt and wounded by a bad father. Some of you had a good father, so you seeing God as a father is not hard. For me, it's not a hard thing because I've been blessed enough in my life to have known my great-grandfather, who was a great man of God, my grandfather, who was a great man of God, and my father, who is still in my life and very influential as a man of God in my life. Some of you may have had a, you knew your dad, but he was a jerk. Sadly, I talk to people who have had Christian fathers, their biological, maybe even their biological father, but he was just a jerk. And all the what that on the earth influences the way you see God, the way you relate to God. I know of some friends of mine that he doesn't know who his father is, never met his father, never really had any father at all. So for him to relating to God as a good shepherd or a good father is extremely difficult. Sadly, even a step further into the Christian world, and if this is you on behalf of pastors, let me just apologize. You know, not to borrow a current phrase of the political times, but to borrow a current phrase of the political times, there's sadly some bad pastors, some selfish pastors. So, and the unfortunate part of that is when people encounter those that are either mentally abusive or they manipulate, and there are people that do this. It hurts the whole kingdom because it hurts how we see God and how we relate to God. That's why I take this platform and being in front of you so seriously, is because my words not only affect you, but if our relationships affect each other, your relationship with me, and it affects how you see God. It's hard to see God as a father. It's hard to even approach him as a father. Matter of fact, in the Bible, and if you come from a Catholic background, please, I won't get into the theology with you of it, but it actually says in the Bible, hey, don't call anybody father but me. Me being God. God says, hey, I am your father. And what he was saying was, you don't need anybody else. I don't think it was necessarily a reference to, like in the Catholic tradition, calling the priest a father. But he was very clear. And Jesus even said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Remember when he teaches us how to pray, he says, we pray like this, our Father. It doesn't say our Most High God in a lot of fluffy other language. He just says, you talk to him like a daddy. I've said this before. If you've been here, you've heard me say this. And sometimes the religious type get offended and get their britches in a bunch about this. But I just like to talk to God like daddy. So I get up in the morning, dad. And you know, when I do that, my earthly father doesn't get offended at all. But we act like God's going to somehow get upset when we talk to him the Bible tells us to. Hey, God. Hey, Dad. I'm ready this morning. What you got? And Jesus very clearly says to talk that way. Through the entire Bible, God is talked about as a father from beginning to end. I'm going to be a father to the nation. I'm going to be a father to my people. Jesus, in this I am statement, is using this shepherd to demonstrate God's heart for us. And this is a huge difference in our lives. I mean, a huge difference for us between our God and what we believe and any other religion. There's no other religion that says that my God's alive, one, which we believe Jesus is alive with the Father sitting in heaven, right? But there's also nothing else that says of God for us that, and here's your first point, that a price was paid. The Bible's very clear. Jesus paid a price for us. John chapter 10, and again, we're reading through mostly in the book of John. John chapter 10, verse 12. It's using the phrase right after Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd. In between 11 and 14, that he tells this story. He says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because what? And I highlight it here. Because they don't belong to him. He hasn't paid a price for them. Let me bring it down to something a little more carnal. It's like, I was telling somebody, it's like a difference between your car and a rental car. Now, don't get all religious on me, because I know it's true. When you go and travel, when I travel and I get to an airport and you pick up a rental car, do most of us treat that rental car, or maybe you got in an accident and you get a rental car? Do you drive that rental car the same way you drive the car that you're paying for out of your pocket? Well, let me help you because y'all aren't getting... No, you don't. That's why if you see rental cars, they only may be 2 years old, but they are ragged out and worn out because we've not paid the price for that car. But if that's your car, you take care of it. I have some of you, my friends, and y'all know who you are, that have big, nice four-wheel drive trucks, and they've never even been dirty. Why? Because you have paid a price for that truck. You love that truck. You take care of it. Well, see, the same is true here, that Jesus is telling them, hey, I'm a good shepherd, but the hireling, he's not going to watch after you. When times get tough or dangerous, he's going to bail and run because he's got no skin in the game. He's just doing a job. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 7:23, it says, God paid a very high price for you. We know now that that was his son that he sent for us. Jesus said again when he said in John 10:11, that he sacrifices for his sheep. He paid the price. What that was also doing is your second point, is God not only said, I paid a price for you, but I'm going to demonstrate my love for you. In 1 John 3:16, it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, there's a lot of things happening there. That's not only the answer for God's love for you and the love demonstrated, but it's also the answer of how we help people and those of you who may have struggled with seeing God as the Father. Because when they see somebody else with a story that said, I didn't have a good father, I didn't have a good family, or I had a bad situation, but God came and showed me love, and then you demonstrate that to somebody else who's had that same problem, there's the answer that they're looking for. Because if it's true for you, it's going to be true for them, and they can begin to find some healing. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13, he says, this is my commandment, that you love each other, how? The way I loved you. You go show people the same love that I showed you that helped you through your issues. You go love people through and show them how you walked out of a situation that you didn't think you could get out of. But God paid a price for you. He demonstrated his love for you. So love was demonstrated. Look at the second part of that verse. It says there's no greater love than for you to give part of your life, you to lay down your life for somebody else. So a price was paid. Love was demonstrated. In John chapter 10, verse 13, again, it says the hired hand runs away because he doesn't care about the sheep. Again, he's not demonstrating anything except what? Come on, not a trick question. He's demonstrating greed. He's demonstrating his own self-preservation because he doesn't have anything in the game. A lot of us don't realize that the price that was paid for us and demonstrated in what Jesus did. And when he says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying I am the good shepherd because he's got skin in the game. He's got the price paid. It's the bill that he paid for us. For those of us who say we love him, Jesus does expect us to demonstrate his love. He asked Peter 3 times, hey, Peter, do you love me? Peter looks at him like aghast, like, well, of course I do. I'm following you. The second time, hey, Peter, do you love me? Of course I do. And he tells him 1 time, feed my sheep. And look at this 3rd time. This is the 3rd time in John 21:17. 3 times he asks, do you love me? And Jesus says in 21, I didn't give it to you, did I? Oh, well, you ought to. John 21:17, it says, a 3rd time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he tells him again, then feed my sheep. See, remember that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he points to something that makes sacrifice. Then in the 2nd time, he says it in John 10:14, he says, but this time he's going to point to the result. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the result of the price paid, the result of a demonstrated love, is this. It says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my people, and they know me. Because he's making the relationship personal. His relationship is personal. It's not this super, again, another thing that is not found in any other religion is the desire of God. We would say our one true and only God. But other religions say their deity, you can't have anything to do with them. And here is God, our God, being very clear that this relationship is personal. Again, in John 10, chapter 3, we actually read this verse last week. It says that the sheep do what? They recognize his voice. And what? And come. And see, there's a two-part thing there. That you not only recognize it, you respond to it. That when I hear Melanie's voice, and she says in our house, if she doesn't say, "Hey, Clint, this is Melanie. Will you come help me lift this?" That's just insane. She said, I hear from the kitchen, "Hey, will you come help me lift this?" I automatically know why, because I recognize her voice. Two, she's in my house, so I hope I know whose it is. But I recognize the voice, and then I have to do what? Hopefully respond. Come. And here Jesus is saying, listen, the sheep recognize his voice, and they come. And then it goes even further. And if that's not personal enough, the Bible says of all of us that Jesus looks down and calls you by name. He looks down and says, "Hey, that's Jimmy. I know him personally. Hey, that's Shay. I know her personally. Hey, that's Tammy. I know her personally." And he says, he calls you by name, and then he leads you. And here's the part where we come out. He leads you out of the mess you're in. So a price was paid. It was demonstrated. And the Bible says that he wants a personal relationship with you. John 10, 27 says that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You see, King David, and we're going to be short today. So I realize, for those of you who are wondering on time, I realize how short I am. King David in Psalms, he has most of us know it and we read it, it's Psalm 23. And King David, it's a confession and a prayer that he makes to God. He understood how close God wanted to be to him. The Bible says of David, if you read through the Old Testament, when David worshiped, he understood that so much, the Bible said he would embarrass himself. He wouldn't be undignified because he was the king and he wasn't supposed to worship that way. But he understood how bad God wanted to get close to him and to know him. And he understood that God was, and he even uses the phrase, and it's all through the Old Testament as well, in Psalm 23, verse 1, he uses this phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus now in the New Testament says, "I am the good shepherd." And if you read, when you read that, if you look in your Bible, that shepherd, that S is capitalized. And it signifies talking. Jesus is talking about himself. If you skip on down to verse 6 of Psalm 23, it says, "Surely goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. It comes after you, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." I want to do something this morning that was a little different, and I left us a little time for this. Band, you guys can come on back. And yes, again, I do realize that we're early. I want to read something over you. Somebody can go ahead and flip the house lights. If you've not been here before, we recently made a change in our service where we've moved. We normally do four worship songs, and we've moved one of those to the end. I just felt like that sometimes we just run out of church. We say amen, see you later, and then the door swings on the way out. And we don't let God settle anything in our heart. We don't let his words settle in our heart. So this morning, I want you to kind of think about this, that God paid a price for you. And here we are celebrating you know, July 4th, our independence of our country. He paid a price. There are lots of people who have continued to pay the price to keep us free and safe from all of our military who keep us free and safe, to our first responders and all those guys and girls who keep us safe. There's a price has to be paid. You know, there's a fallacy that people say that freedom's free, because freedom's not free. And it's true in the Bible, and it's true in our lives, our eternal lives as well. Your eternal freedom was not free. Jesus paid a price for it. And that was his love demonstrated, because he wants a personal relationship with you. So where you are this morning, just kind of let that mull over in your heart. I'm going to pray, and I'll close in a minute, and I always offer a chance for those, maybe if you're sitting at home or in the room with me here and you've never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's okay. You can start today. But I want to read over you. I'm going to read out of the message. It's the message version of the Bible. And I want to read this over you. So I'm going to ask you not to look at the screen. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, bow your heads, and it's just you and God for a minute. And I'm going to read over you this in Psalm 23, it's six verses. And I'm going to read it over you. This is David. I believe it'll be true in your life as well. He says, God is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in these lush meadows. You make me find quiet pools to drink from them. True to your word, God, you let me catch my breath. I don't know who that's for. I know it just jumped out at me when I read it this morning. You maybe even said, I just feel like I can't catch up. I can't catch my breath. Every time I do, something bad happens. Something knocks me back down again and knocks the wind out of me. Here's your verse today. And Psalm chapter 23. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. And then you not only let me catch my breath, you send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through a dark valley, God, I'm not afraid because you're beside me. Your trusty shepherd's crook is right there. It makes me feel secure. You serve me, God, not just a meal, but a six-course dinner. And you do it in front of my enemies, showing how good you are to me. God, you revive my drooping head, and my cup is not just have contents. My cup is full. And the last verse, your beauty and love chases after me every day of my life. Again, somebody in the room, maybe somebody online, this jumped out at me when I read this again this morning. You feel like nobody cares, nobody's aware of where you are and what you're going through and the situation you find yourself in. And here's David saying, God, your love chases me every day. I am convinced more than ever that when we turn our backs on God and we walk away from God, he's chasing behind us, waiting on us to acknowledge him. That ends by saying that I'm back in home in the house of God, and I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. And that may be you this morning. Again, here or online, and you say, Clint, I don't have that peace. I don't have a Savior. I've never given my life to Jesus. The Bible says it's this easy, that if you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus is who he says he is. He came for you. He died for you. God raised him from the dead, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. It's what I said when I started the message, that Jesus came and paid the price, and that when you believe that, say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. You don't change to come to God. You come to God and let him change you. Don't buy into this idea that I somehow have to get my life together to let God, to experience God in what we just read. So if that's you this morning, why don't we all in the room and online just pray this with me now. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me, God. Make me whole and clean. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says salvation is instant. Now we begin to let God work. I don't know who that was for. Maybe if you're online and it was you when I talked about catching your breath. If that was you, send us a message. You can come find me. You can come find Melanie. I'd love to pray with you. I don't know. Sometimes God just puts things on my heart and doesn't tell me necessarily who they're for. But I just know when I read that this morning and this week, that catching of the breath just seemed to be something that somebody was struggling with. Your life, you just can't seem to catch your breath. Like the devil just keeps getting you. Life just keeps stealing breath. So whoever that is, I'm going to pray for all of us. And then why don't you go ahead, if you will, if you'll stand one more time with us. We're going to sing one more song. And then we'll be dismissed. But I'm going to pray and bless whoever that is. But again, if that's you, send us a message. If you're online, come find me. Come find Melanie. And I'd love to pray with you today. We've pared things down a little bit today. We knew that everybody was going to be kind of scattered everywhere for the fourth week, July 4th. And as well, we have those of you online who are still having to shelter in place. Know we love you as well. But I want to pray because whoever that is, that's just struggling with catching your breath, I believe today, this weekend, can be your freedom day. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that your word says you take us in your arms, and Father, we can take a deep breath and relax. That for whoever that is, whoever needed to hear that word today, not only let them catch their breath, Father God, but you just set them down and send them in the right direction. Whatever's coming against their lives, Father God, we as a family, we curse it in Jesus' name. We put our faith with them, God, that they'll begin to hear your voice because your word says that you speak to us and we can know your voice and we can respond. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for life and complete breath and peace in Jesus' name. Thank you for it now, Father. Father, for all those who may be giving today, this is their time to tithe and to bring their tithe and offering. Father God, I bless that. Father, I thank you as they drop it in the buckets on the way out, or maybe they've given online. That is an act of worship, an attempt to repay to you, God, for something we could never do. To be obedient in our tithe. And we thank you for it, Father. And we worship you now, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.